Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. It's an issue that just won't go away. What right, if any, does a company or business have to stifle my words to keep me from expressing what's on my heart? It's called content moderation, and many on social media are waving all kinds of flags concerning this issue. Bettina Kraus, editor of Liberty Magazine, who joins us via Skype, takes a close look at this particular challenge to decide if it has any religious liberty overtones. This program is sponsored by Liberty Magazine. So let's get right to the point, Bettina. Content moderation on social media.
Yes.
What do you think the framers of our Constitution, and that includes that all-important First Amendment, would be saying on talk shows these days concerning this topic?
Okay, that's an image that boggles the mind, Chuck.
Yeah, it would, yes.
Well, let's get down to the basics. It is shocking but true that when you or I sit down to compose a tweet or to write a Facebook post, that what we are actually doing is not protected by the First Amendment, by that constitutional protection for free speech. And it comes as a shock to us because it feels like it should be protected. We are exercising our voice. We are speaking into the public realm. It feels like we should have those constitutional protections in place. But here's the thing. The First Amendment, as with the entire Bill of Rights, it talks only about government action. So it's protecting the people. It's protecting us against coercive or abusive or inappropriate government action. It is not protecting us against the actions of private property owners. Now, I don't know what the framers of the Constitution would have thought about social media.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impossible to say, but within our current legal framework, these are private entities. And so the First Amendment does not apply when we are using platforms that have been created by private entities. This is a fundamental issue of constitutional law. It's not in any way controversial, but it is surprising.
Well, does Facebook and Twitter and Instagram have somehow a sacred right to do what they're doing, to moderate content? Are they within the law to say, no, you can't say that here?
This is where it gets really interesting, because not only does the First Amendment not apply to our rights as users of social media, the First Amendment actually provides protection to these social media companies in their task or in their work of content moderation. So what we have is that really it's Facebook, it's Twitter, it's Instagram that have the First Amendment right to moderate content. So what they're doing is they're exercising their free speech through the means of the editorial decisions they make, through their decisions about who can post and who can't post, and whose content they decide to amplify, whose content they decide to suppress. These editorializing decisions, these content moderation decisions, are protected by the First Amendment.
In other words, if you could surgically implant in my mouth a loudspeaker, and some people think that's been done, if you could surgically implant that in my mouth, and then you stand off to the side and you speak into a microphone and your words come out of my mouth, I'm protected from what you could say through my mouth. And that's what's happening with Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. They're protected. We are talking through their mouth when we say these things, right?
True. That's true. And yet it is incumbent on us to know what we're getting into when we decide to engage in the realm of social media. I mean, look at it this way, Charles. You have the New York Times. Mm-hmm. No one says, I am entitled to a free speech platform in the pages of the New York Times.
Yeah.
No one says that because New York Times, they have their own editorial policy. They have their own staff who make these decisions. And all these decisions, of course, are protected under the First Amendment. They have the right as a private entity to shape the speech that they choose to host. Well, social media companies are just like those newspapers writ large. We are using those platforms, but we have a very limited, defined scope within which we can use those platforms. And that scope is defined by community guidelines in the case of Facebook. And every platform has its own list of rules for what a user must comply with in order to use their platform. And so really what we need to do as users of social media is to be aware of what the limits of our rights are when we go on these platforms.
Really? Okay. Well, let's bring this closer to home. Let's say that I want to go down to my park, my city park down here in Berkeley Springs where I live, and I wanted to say my mind. I wanted to lay it out the way I think. Is it okay there, or do I need to stay on my own property to do that? Where do my rights end when I want to say what I want to say?
Well, that's a whole other area of constitutional law. I mean, yes, of course, you have the right to speak in any way you choose, so long as it doesn't cross any lines into incitement to imminent violence, for instance, or very narrowly defined categories where your free speech rights may be legitimately curtailed by the government. Mm-hmm. But outside of those very narrow guidelines or rules, you are free. Your speech is protected. However, when you enter into the realm of a private company, which is Facebook and the others, when you enter into their realm, you have to play by their rules. That's simply how our current legal structure envisions how this process works. And so there is a counter argument. I mean, I'm presenting the reality of how our legal system works at present. There is a counter narrative, another argument, which would say, okay, that may be technically how it all works. However, these social media companies have grown so exponentially. They're huge. They dominate the public space. They have grown to monopolize public discourse to such an extent that they are, in a way, exercising quasi-governmental functions. And so, to that extent, they should be treated under the law as if they were undertaking government functions of caring for this new public square. That is an argument that is put forward, and it has some attraction. I mean, clearly, if you don't have a social media platform these days, your voice is significantly muted. I mean, we just have to see what happened to President Trump when he was removed from Facebook and Twitter. His voice, the reach of his speech, contracted dramatically at that point. So there is sort of a logic to this argument, but it really doesn't hold water under our current constitutional framework.
It seems sometimes that people are saying, you know, well, your mouth may not be protected, but my ears are. You can't say that because if you say it, it's going to make me mad, and I have protected ears. Doesn't that seem like people are saying that these days?
Well, this is why social media platforms have mute buttons, and this is why you can unfollow people.
Yes.
Unless you're going to get into the realm of, in some other countries, you have speech that offends religious sensibilities or that purports to blaspheme. These are purportedly criminal offences. It works on the same principle that it's criminal to offend someone's ears, if you will, or someone's sensibilities. We belong to a tradition of Western liberal democracy where we value free speech as an absolute fundamental pillar of what constitutes a free society. And, you know, when we talk about religious freedom, for instance, we often talk about it in a vacuum as if it somehow exists on its own. But it doesn't, because if you didn't also have very robust free speech, you wouldn't have any meaningful religious freedom. Mm. Because religious freedom is not just belief, which exists in the mind. It is also action and speech and living out your faith. And you can't do that unless you have a very robust and protected free speech. And so when people start getting upset about the ability of social media platforms to enforce certain community standards and to, you know, make these decisions, which some of them seem arbitrary, some of them are arbitrary, they're made by artificial intelligence, they're not always fair or coherent. However, we can't simply then say, well, then the government should step in and tell them they can't do that. Mm-hmm. Because that starts to erode the very foundation of this robust free speech, which is so necessary to religious freedom. It would be a huge irony if we started to erode free speech in the sense of, you know, the ability of these private companies to police their own platforms. If we started to erode free speech in the name of trying to protect religious freedom, I mean, that would be a supreme irony.
Really, really. Bettina, in the 90 seconds or so we have left on the program, you're the editor of Liberty Magazine, and Liberty Magazine deals with some pretty timely issues. How do you do it? How do you editorialize everything that goes out? Because the magazine is your voice. How do you keep from offending great numbers of people, yet at the same time, tell the truth? What's going on? What's your secret?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question that you asked me today when I've been wading through the recent crop of responses to a recent editorial that was in Liberty Magazine. Because the reality is, no matter what you say, you will cause confusion and upset among some people. But here's what we do at Liberty Magazine. We have some core principles which are printed every issue at the front of the magazine, which basically say we believe in freedom of religion for all people, no matter what their faith tradition, and we will stand for that. And we believe that this freedom is best served when church and state are separate. Mm-hmm. These are the two core principles that form the basis of what we speak about in the pages of our magazine. If we stick close to that, we may upset some people, but we won't stray far from our core values.
Core values, I like that. It seems like we need to develop core values as people who speak on social media, on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Those core values need to include what? What's the most important core value for us individually, Bettina?
Well, it's to remain true, to have integrity to our beliefs and values. Freedom of religion is right up there.
Bettina Kraus, editor of Liberty Magazine, has been our guest today. Liberty Magazine is the sponsor of this program. We have a website, libertymagazine.org. Bettina, thank you so much for sharing today. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Bettina Kraus, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call 443-391-7258 or email us through our website at libertymagazine.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.